Let's pray as we prepare to open up the scriptures. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. For the past few weeks, we've been considering the promises of God, and our goal is to learn about some patterns for living that will help us experience the reality of God's promises. And tonight, I want to talk about what I call walking the promise. Can you say that with me? Walking the promise. And this theme is taken from God's instruction to Abraham, to Moses, and to Joshua. Abraham and Moses and Joshua were all told that they needed to walk the land that God had promised to them, and this was essential for them to come into their inheritance. Now, when we're talking about receiving an inheritance or receiving promises from God, we're not just talking about what you will receive for yourself, but about what God wants to accomplish through you. And he will give to you areas of responsibility, he will give assignments, and he will give resources to you so that you can have an impact on the world. Wednesday night, some of us gathered to pray and to walk this campus. Now, I had announced that it was going to be a 2-mile walk, and the weather was bad earlier in the day, and I know that gave a good excuse for a number of you not to come. It was also cold for Florida, 52 chilly degrees, and so we were concerned for Florida frostbite. But there were a number of souls who braved the weather, and we gathered first here, and then we went outside, and we walked this campus. We walked along the border of the lake that we're situated on. It was about a 2-mile walk because we went up and all the way back, and then we came back here, and we walked past our next-door neighbors. Now, do you know who's our next-door neighbor on the north side? The Art Institute and the Culinary Institute, part of one, you know, large organization. They're our immediate next-door neighbors. And then who's our next-door neighbor after that? The School of Law, Florida Coastal School of Law. And we walked past their buildings, and then we walked past the FDIC offices. You have to keep going, and they're not on the lake. I know some of you would like them to be in the lake, but they have temporary offices here dealing with, you know, the economic situation. And as we were walking, we noticed something, especially those of us who have spent a lot of time in this area the last few months during the daytime. At night, you have a whole different perspective because you can see into the buildings in a different way where the lights are on. We saw rooms we didn't even know existed, and we were surprised how many people are actually on this campus after dark. Hundreds and hundreds of people are gathered here in order to study and to work into the evening. And so we walked by and we saw people who were in the library and people in the study corrals and people huddling together, those going to classes, professors and students and staff. It was actually a great perspective. Though I can say that as we got to the very end, we saw a security guard sitting in one of the buildings that Florida Coastal has. And I don't think he sees many people in his area after dark. And there was this crowd of people coming up towards his door. We didn't actually go in, but he had a look on his face. And so we all smiled and we just kept walking and, you know, came around. We walked and we prayed. And many of us were led to pray for the students who are on campus here, for the professors, for the staff, for people doing all kinds of work. We prayed for those that we understood we're in each building and we asked God to bless them. We asked God to pour out his excitement upon them. We asked for his provision for the students. As we walked past one of the bookstores of one of the schools, we were praying that students would see provision in their lives. You know, textbooks can be expensive. How many of you know that? How many of you are still paying for your textbooks? We weren't asking the Lord to give us anything for our own needs. It wasn't that kind of praying about promises. It was praying about the promises that God has in store for the people who are situated here, who find themselves located here for one reason or another. It was more about what God wants to do, because this campus is a place that he's interested in. And he wants to move on behalf of the people who are here. Now, with that in mind, let's open up the scriptures. And we'll start by looking at Abraham. We'll start in Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. I'd like to see your Bibles. If you have a Bible, would you wave it at me? Doing pretty well. Oh, let's get all the digital Bibles up. We like that. All digital Bibles. Okay, it's sort of like going to a concert, isn't it? We just wave our... And how many of you still believe in paper? I believe in perfect faith. Genesis 13, verse 14. The Lord said to Avram, Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes. Can you say that phrase with me? Lift up your eyes. And look from the place where you are, look northward and southward and eastward and westward. Lift up your eyes and look from where you are. You know, sometimes we are so absorbed in our own situation, we only can see and only take notice of what we're going through. And the Lord was saying to Abraham, I want to give this land to you. It looks one way to you, but it looks another way to me. And I want you to lift up your eyes and look around, and I want you to look in all directions. Now, who's got a good sense of direction? Okay. Those of you who raise your hand because you have a good sense of direction, can you turn towards the north? Can you stand up and turn towards the north? I just want to see if you all are turning towards the same north. Okay, so everybody, stand up and let's turn towards the north. Okay, we're doing that. That's not too hard, is it? Okay, Abraham was told, look northward. Now let's turn towards the south. Okay, that's tricky, isn't it? Turn towards the south. Look in that direction. Turn towards the east. Yeah, that wasn't too hard. Turn towards the east, look in that direction, and then westward, turn westward and look in that direction. It's much easier if you can see the sun. Okay, you did well. That was what Abraham was told to do, to look in all four directions and to see things from God's perspective. When Abraham looked outward, he would see a land that's occupied by other people, right? And he could have thought, what he sees is the permanent condition of that land. But the Lord had a different perspective. He wanted Abraham to see from the Lord's perspective that everywhere he was turning was going to change. The current situation was not permanent. Now, some people get stuck because they think that their current situation is permanent. And they don't realize that God wants to make a change for the better on their behalf. So this is what God said to Abraham. Lift up your eyes. You have to change your perspective. Don't look down, look up. And look from the place where you are. You know, people often get absorbed in themselves. Have you ever heard of navel gazing? How many of you have heard of that? Navel gazing. That's where you stare at your belly button. And you try to contemplate the universe or something, or yourself, or your belt. God said to Abraham, look from the place where you are to the north, to the south, to the east and to the west, because all the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever. Lift up your eyes and look from where you're standing. And then verse 16, I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. And then verse 17, arise and walk through the length and the breadth of the land, because I will give it to you. He said to Abraham, get up. It's not lach lacha, but it's get up and walk. Now, I want you, if you like the person next to you, to smile at them for just a minute. Just look at them. You can look on both sides, smile at them. And then I want you to tell them something. There's going to be a lot of walking in this place. A lot of walking. This will be a good place for our health. We're going to walk a lot. And one reason is the Lord wants to give us something here. Now, I don't mean by that he wants to give us all this property. I mean by it something else. He wants to give us concern for people who are on this campus. He wants to give us interest in people who are on this campus. He wants to give us relationships with people who are on this campus so that he can pour out his blessings on all people. Yeshua once said to his disciples, go into the whole world. The whole world. Can you say whole world? The whole world. And bring the good news to everyone. Bring good news. Now, we need to say that because sometimes people prefer to bring bad news. So let's just say, bring good news. You see, we're called to be concerned for every aspect of life, all the people God brings us into contact with, and to bring them good news, not bad news. There's plenty of bad news to go around, is there not? We're called to bring good news. The word gospel simply means good news. Good news of what God intends to do, what God has decided to do, what God has made possible. So God was saying to Abraham, I want you to see this land, not from your perspective, but my perspective, not the way it is, but the way it will be. I want you to see it not as if it's going to permanently stay in the condition that you find it. Your presence is going to make a difference. Abraham's presence in the land, the children of Israel's presence in the land, made a difference. And you and I are called to make a difference. Now, if you still like that person sitting next to you, and you still have a smile on your face, see if you can smile and say, you can make a difference. You can make a difference. You can make a difference to other people as a representative of God. Hey, you might say, well, I'm not a very good representative. Well, then work on it. Do the best you can for now. Look at Abraham's response, verse 18. And so Abraham moved his tent, and he came, and he settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. So his response was to move forward as the Lord directed. He relocated, and he built a place of worship. That was part of his response, and it's part of our response. We have moved. We're now in our temporary sanctuary for a few more weeks, and then we will move to our new synagogue, and there will be a place of worship on this campus where none existed. There will be a gathering place on this campus in the center of thousands of students and thousands of workers, a gathering place for the people of God, and a way that we can serve those who we come into contact with in this area. Look up. See, arise, walk. Walk the promise. You take possession of things when you put your foot on the ground. And it's important to get up and walk that promise. And as you're walking, you know what happens? Your spirit becomes attuned to what God wants to do. You begin to see things from God's perspective. When we were walking on Wednesday night, we were saying, Lord, show us what you want to do. And after we had walked for 2 miles, we came back here, we compared notes. I asked people, how were you praying? Because we didn't organize the prayer. We just walked and prayed. And people prayed each in his or her own way. And when we came back, we found many people were praying blessings on those who are here on the campus. Blessings on the students, the staff, the professors, and so forth. And we were asking the Lord to pour out his goodness upon people. And we were saying, Lord, use us to be a blessing to other people. Now, in Leviticus, we see that God also does some walking. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 11 through 13 is what I want to look at. I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. It reminds me of another passage where God says, build for me a sanctuary that I might dwell among you. But here it says, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not abhor you. Verse 12, and I will walk among you and will be your God. You see, God, according to Torah, walked with Abraham. God, according to Torah, walked with Adam. He came and he had fellowship with Abraham. And he said, walk before me. The Hebrew is very literal. You might say it's just poetic. But it's both poetic and it has a literal, simple meaning to it. God wants to be among us. He wants to walk among us. He wants to be our God. He says, I will walk among you. I will be your God and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God, verse 13, who brought you out of the land of Egypt that you should not be their slaves. And I've broken the bars of your yoke and made you to walk uprightly. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 24 says it this way. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. How many of you brought feet tonight? Okay, I want you to congratulate your feet. Just look at them and say, God has a purpose for these feet. Everywhere I put my foot, I can become a place, I can become a blessing. It can become mine. Not that I own it, do you understand? But I can become a spiritual steward of what God has given me to possess. Deuteronomy 11:24, and another translation says, every place on which the sole of your foot treads will be yours. Your border will be from the wilderness to Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, as far as the western sea. In Joshua, we see that the instruction to walk the promise continues. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Joshua 14:9. And so Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. It's interesting how the tenses of the verbs work out here. Everywhere your foot has trodden will be. And so it's suggesting to us that when we take possession, if you will, by walking, by praying, by seeing things from God's perspective, and by being an agent of godly change, it has an impact on the present that moves into the future, and it changes the situation. Your presence changes the future. Now, let's turn for a moment to this question of looking up. Remember what God said to Abraham? Lift up your eyes. I want to talk for a minute about looking at what God wants us to notice. You see, Yeshua had a perspective. We need to look at what he wants us to see and see from his point of view, not from our own. Do you know how easy it is just to see things from our point of view? It can be challenging, difficult, for some people impossible to see things from God's point of view. we can get so familiar with the way that we look at things that we don't even realize we're only using our natural eyes, our personality, the way we think, and we're applying it to everything. But Yeshua teaches us we need to see things differently from his point of view, not our own. Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 34, if you can turn there. Let's test the digital people and see how quickly they can get to Luke chapter 4, 34. As soon as you get there, digerati. Okay, Jonathan, way to go, winner. Over here. Okay, we got, these guys are fast. Okay, now those of you with paper, how many of you are already there? Look at that, I'm impressed. Luke chapter 4, verse 34, Yeshua said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." That's the perspective that Yeshua had. He's energized by doing what God wants, by accomplishing his work. You see, we need to take that into our hearts and into our minds. It's not about what we can get for ourselves. It's about what we can do on his behalf, the way he wants it and the way that blesses him. Verse 35, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you." Now you tell me what the next words are in your Bible.
Rabbi, here's a problem.
Yes. Am I in the wrong place? It's not Luke. That's embarrassing. Look, it's in my Bible this way. No, it's not. John? John 4? Man, I a little typo in my notes. I copy the passages so that I don't have to turn there so slowly. John chapter 4, 34. That's where it is, all right. Thank you very much. We'll correct that typo. John. Okay, who said that? Who caught it? Jerry was the first. You found where it wasn't.
Well, I don't know that I was the first. I was the first to speak.
Okay. So let's see. How many of you knew I wasn't in the right book? Everybody but me, because I didn't turn. I just used my notes. Okay, congratulations. Congratulate each other. You were paying attention. Okay, but special congratulations to Jerry, because he's the only one who said anything. Okay, now who was the one who first said where it was? Okay. John. And the two shall become one. Well, that's great. Congratulations to you guys for finding the correct location. Now, how many of you knew where the correct location is, but you were too shy to say anything? Yeah. Either you're still too shy or you didn't know. Okay. Thank you for catching that. It's actually interesting and good that you would catch that. It means you're paying attention. But only Jerry had the nerve to say something and to help. Thank you very much. John chapter 4. Okay, let's see who can turn to John 4. Verse 34, Yeshua said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you." Now, what does your Bible say?
Lift up your eyes.
Lift up your eyes. What's another translation?
Open your eyes.
Open your eyes. What's another translation?
Arise your eyes.
Arise your eyes. Well, that's tricky. Make your eyes even taller. Raise your eyes. Okay, so you've got to stop looking down and look up, right? Lift up your eyes. See things from another perspective. And look what he says, and see that the, what does your Bible say? The what? the fields. Isn't that interesting? You know, when people are just looking down, they often don't notice the most important things. Yeshua wanted everyone to see that the fields would give them some guidance. The fields are white for the harvest. Already the one who is harvesting is getting paid and gathering fruit for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps or harvests. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Now, what does your Bible say, the next few words? Others have labored. Others have done the hard work, and you've entered into their labor. You see, we're coming onto this campus. We didn't build this campus, did we? We did not gather the thousands of students. Someone else has done that. We didn't gather the thousands of workers. Others have done that. But God is in it, and he's saying, don't say 4 more months, and the harvest will come. But look and see the fields. You have to look at the right thing. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at each other. Look at the fields, because they're actually ready. So keep this in mind. God wants us to keep looking up. If you start looking down, someone, I hope, will encourage you, lift up your eyes. See things from a different perspective. It will help. Now, Isaiah had a prophetic perspective that's important to us. It's connected to Yeshua's calling for us to bring good news to people. And his perspective is that justice and mercy can be united. Do you believe that's a relevant message for those who are studying law?
Amen.
And mercy. Think about that. Many people who are involved in hospitality have a gift of mercy that comes out of them. So do you believe that mercy and justice being united together, that's relevant for people involved in hospitality? I think it is. Justice and mercy are united when you are willing to bring good news and to do good for other people. Now, I want you to understand that in the eyes of God, proclamation is not only verbal, it's also proclamation by action. What you do is even more important than what you say. How many of you are aware of that?
Amen.
And don't we judge people if they're always saying one thing but doing another thing? What's the classic word for that?
Hypocrite,
right? Someone who's play-acting. They pretend to be one thing, but they really are another. It's so important. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17 lists this combination of actions that we need to embrace. The first one is, and check me, make sure it's in the Bible. Okay. Learn to do good. Say that with me. Learn to do good. So that implies that it's not automatically known by everyone. It requires effort. Learn to do good. Number two, seek justice. Say that with me. Seek justice. Number three, correct oppression. Say that with me. Correct oppression. Now, the next one is interesting. Bring justice to the fatherless or to the orphan. Say that with me. Bring justice to the fatherless or the orphan. And then the last one, plead the widow's cause. Say that with me. Plead the widow's cause. So we have to learn to do good. We have to seek justice, not seek what's good for us, but seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice really on behalf of the orphan and the fatherless, and plead the cause of the widow. That is part of what we're called to do. Now, the new covenant perspective is this. Don't be absorbed with ourselves and our needs. Seek and search for the good of your neighbor. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I'm all nervous. I'm going to make you check every single citation I have. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24 says, let no one seek what? his own good. But what does it say? The good of others, the good of his neighbor. So what are we pursuing? Not our own good, but the good of our neighbors. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't take care of our families and we don't do the things that will build us up. It means we don't become absorbed with doing things for ourselves. It's not the me generation that God is interested in. It's the we generation, where we begin to see one another as part of the community that we're concerned about and taking care of. Now, the prophetic perspective that Jeremiah has, that God brings through Jeremiah, still is unpopular among many people, including many believers. Because we're living in an era where many people are absorbed with bad news because the news is so bad, but they almost have their hope in more bad news. You know, let things get really bad, because then Messiah will come. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. It says this: seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you also will prosper. Now, it's interesting, the root word of this command to seek is drash. The particular form is dirshu, which is a commanding word. And some of you remember that we were looking at a Hebrew word of the week. Any of you remember that word? Drosh. Drosh, which is to seek. To seek. And it's connected, it's also a way of saying in Hebrew, study. Because when you seek the scriptures and you search them out, that's how you study. And this is using the same word to say seek, go after, look into, search for. You have to put time into it. You have to put your attention into it. Seek the peace, the prosperity of your city. What do you think that word is in Hebrew? What's an easy guess? It's only one word. Shalom. Seek the shalom of your city. Pursue it. And the word shalom means peace. It means prosperity. It means welfare. That's why the New American Standard says, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile. It means the well-being. One translation says it this way, and I think it's capturing the same idea. Work for the good of the city where I've taken you as captives, and pray to the Lord for that city. When it prospers, you will also prosper. Now, in the weeks coming up, we're going to be looking soon at the life of Joseph. And Joseph had the same perspective. He was taken captive, was he not? He was brought down to what country? To Egypt as a prisoner. And he sought the good of the place where he was. He was a blessing to all that he worked for. Even when he was in prison, he was a blessing, and he was trustworthy. This prophetic perspective was the perspective of Joseph. It was the same perspective and the call that Yeshua was trying to express to us. And it's why we're here and why we're locating our new synagogue on this beautiful campus. Yeshua said, go into the whole world, proclaim good news to everyone. To everyone. God said to Abraham, everywhere you put your feet. He said to Moses, every place that the sole of your foot treads upon will be yours. The Lord is wanting to give us the opportunity to be a blessing on this campus, and we will do it. We can do it. Not because we're good, but because he is good. Not because we have anything special, but because he's special. And because he's full of love and he's full of interest, he will give us the opportunity, and it will fit in perfectly with our call as a congregation to bring good news to the Jewish people. You know, wherever there's a law school, you're going to find Jewish people. Am I right? And wherever there is the service of justice, you'll find Jewish people. Wherever there's really good food, guess what? You'll find Jewish people. We'll be on one side or the other, either in the kitchen or at the table. Go into all the world, bring good news to everyone. My hope for you, my prayer for you is that you will use the rest of this month to actually come on this property and to walk up and down along the lake. Go all the way up and all the way down. It's 2 miles if you do it in all directions, all the way up from here, back, all the way down, and then back. That's 2 miles. So you can do any portion of that. It'll be good for your health. And if while you're walking, you pray and you simply ask the Lord, open my eyes. Let me see what you see. Show me your perspective. Bring me, Lord, your point of view that I could be a blessing to this place. Ask the Lord to pour his spirit out on people. You know, the holiday seasons can be very difficult for people. Great times of loneliness and disappointment, financial pressures, many other things. Even in the seasons of joy, people can be terribly sad. And I want to ask you to take a positive position as you're going out and just walking this territory. Ask the Lord to bless the people who are here. Now, we're going to close with Aaron's blessing. And then anyone who wants to go on a short walk with me after the service, we're not going to go the whole 2 miles. I walked that Wednesday. But anyone who wants to go on a shorter walk, we're going to walk up to the law school and back. It's about 15, 20 minutes if you go the whole way. And we're just going to ask the Lord to bless the students on this campus and every other person we can think of as we're going. It'll be very peaceful and disorganized. Okay? In other words, it'll be a walk and you can pray either by yourself or with whoever you're walking with. And we're not going to make a bunch of noise or commotion. We're just going to walk and pray. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for calling us to this campus. Thank you for giving us a place on this campus. Thank you for the work that's being done to build out the synagogue. We will make for you a sanctuary that you can dwell here, that you will have a place, Lord, from which your good news can go out. And we pray, Lord, that we would learn as a synagogue to be a blessing to all those around us, in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Yivarechecha Adonai, v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha, yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you as you lift up your eyes to see. And may he give you peace, not just for yourself, but to pass on to others. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. 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 Shabbat shalom. Let's walk.